Jesus, we thank you for your word. And God, we do pray for all of our brothers and sisters that are not gathered in churches. We pray for those churches that are doing church online, those that are too afraid to leave their house and gather among people. Oh, Lord, what a crazy time to be alive. Use us mightily, please. Speak to us in your word, God. We surrender our hearts to your word now. Holy Spirit, fall afresh on us. Speak to us where we're at. Give us a word of prophecy, word of encouragement, word of strength. We need you, God. We know we need you. You're all we got, and we know that you're all we need. We ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Sometimes during the course of your life, you run out of things to say to God. You hear the pastor or you hear these people who you're sure are real Christians telling you to pray. You know you should really pray more often. You should pray. There's peace in prayer. There's hunger in prayer. And then you get to praying and you're in your house or you're in your place or wherever you're at, your closet, and you wonder what to pray. How do I pray? The apostles came to the Lord Jesus and said, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. He didn't tell them how to pray. I'm sorry, they didn't ask him how to pray. He just asked that he would teach them to pray. And the crazy thing is, God always gives us plenty of reasons to pray, but he doesn't tell us what to say. He says, in this manner you shall pray. And you guys, if you've been in this church for any length of time, you know that I like to break prayer down into those seven sections. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You know the verses. But every once in a while, you come across a psalm that is so filled with these powerful words. And it can speak directly from your heart, whether it be uplifting or sometimes just depressing. This is one of those psalms. My devotion was from Psalm 20, and there's a verse in Psalm 20. It was from 21, and it says, I don't remember where it was from this morning. But David said that he was the most blessed forever. That I'm most blessed forever. And David, looking at his life and all the trials, all the tough times that he'd gone through, the loss of children and the loss of wives and the loss of power and the gaining of power and loss of his relationship with the Lord. And yet, some point in time, he looked up and he said, you know, God, I am the most blessed person in the world. You know, the Bible says that all the days of the afflicted are evil. Anybody know that verse? It's a proverb. All the days of the afflicted are evil. The more you feel sorry for yourself, the worse life gets. The more you worry, fear, doubt, the more you, poor me, I have. My dad used to always say, I complained I had no shoes until I saw a guy with no feet. Stop your crying, Ryan, he used to say. Crying, Ryan. There he is, crying. What are you crying about now, Ryan? So right. David spouts off this prayer, this point of worship, something that you could take on your own. Tomorrow morning, you could like literally take this as a prayer. When you're looking for something, when you're searching your heart for something to pray, when you've come to, you know, I've said enough, you know, dear God, I love you. Dear God, I praise you. I extol you. I worship you. Whatever words that you've run out of, you could pick this psalm up and you could say, give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. You just take that and pull that to yourself. Just look up to God and say, give you God glory and strength. I give you the glory due your name. I will worship you in the beauty of holiness. Your voice is over the waters, O God. God of glory thunders. You ever listen to the water on the beach or something? I don't like sleeping in a noisy room. My wife is into this stuff she calls white noise. You know what white noise is? You like? Yeah. My mother, because she grew up in the 70s and 80s and 60s and 50s, she listened to a lot of loud music. So by the end of her life, she had tinnitus. You guys know what tinnitus is? You young kids won't know about this, but you will when you get to be our age. We listen to too much loud music, so by the time you're in your late 40s, early 50s, when you put your head against the pillow or put two fingers in your ear, you'll hear. Because I toured with a rock and roll band for more than 10 years, I can't lay down with my head on the pillow with my ear to the pillow, because as soon as I do that, I hear, so I got to turn my head away. So my wife, she'll sometimes put the bathroom fan on. Plumbers call it the fart fan. They put the fart fan on. And never heard that? And you're in construction, you never heard a plumber call it the fart fan? Oh. That's in case you're in the bathroom, so nobody out. Got it. Okay. You guys didn't know that was a thing? Am I alone, the only one that knew that? Marty, you knew it was called that, right? Is that just something in my house? And it's kind of a distraction, that fan, that thingy, that white noise. Like even the baby, when we put the baby down, when we put Arlen down in our house, she has all these things that you have now to put baby to sleep. You can press a button, this noise, that noise. And now, but there's something about the loudest sound. If I'm on the beach, which I try not to be too often, but when I am, if I'm laying down and that ocean just starts, I'll be sleeping in 2 minutes, man. The voice of the Lord that is thunderous on the waves of this, that's the voice of God. I love that. I do. And I hate the beach. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. You hear a funny story about that? I don't know if you've ever had any stories like this. Yesterday's Tuesday. Yes, yesterday, I went outside of my house to close. My gate's broken, so I got to pull it closed by hand. So every night before I go to bed, I turn off all the lights in the house. I lock all the doors. And then I walk out to my driveway. My driveway is about 30 yards down. And as I'm walking out to the driveway, I've got this big palm tree in front of my house. One of the branches falls off. Whoosh, boom, and hits the ground. And I thought to myself, what are the chances that I happen to be walking outside at 11:30 at night and a branch just happens to fall off? And I remember, like, Lord, is there something in this for me? And then I read this. It's the voice of the Lord. You got a squeaky toy back there? That's my childish. He makes them also skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare and in his temple, everyone says, glory. When was the last time you shouted glory in the temple? When was the last time any of you guys, while I was preaching, you heard something and you went, glory? Never? Why not? The voice of the Lord goes forward, and everyone in the temple says, glory. Sometimes I think, like, we miss something. Those Pentecostals, they got something on us, you know? I read about them, hands up to God and shouts of joy and David dancing like he just don't care with his hands in the air. Cringy, wasn't it? Yeah, it's cringy. There's nothing wrong with an amen and a hallelujah and glory. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everyone says, glory. Do you know it's about 30, it's about 22 to 20, 27 years ago. I was still in a band and my wife, I had just gotten saved. And my wife said to me, honey, I have some words for you to write a song for. And I said, really? So I read something in the Bible today, you should make a song. And she read me Psalm 29 out of the Bible. And I remember reading it and saying, do you remember this, honey, at all? You don't remember this. It's so crazy. I've been talking about this for so many years. I don't know why I remember that. But I remember the first time I heard this verse, or one time that Bob was teaching this, or one time that I heard this. The Bible has become such a friend to me. Such a friend. I remember the first time going to church and Bob was teaching Genesis on Sunday mornings. I remember learning all about Joseph. And I thought Joseph was just the father of the Lord Jesus, the stepfather of the Lord. And I found out that there was another guy named Joseph who was like a type of Christ. And he was a son who had a coat with big long sleeves, and then his brothers hated him and they threw him in it. I remember learning that for the first time, going, this is crazy stuff. I remember going to my wife, did this really happen? She said, honey, it's the Bible. Of course it really happened. This is crazy. But why did they do that? I remember Bob saying, because Joseph was a type of Christ. What do you mean? What does that mean, a type of Christ? All through the Bible, God's given us images, pictures, symbols, foreshadowing for the Jews of the Savior that's to come, the one that everything in the Bible points to. I remember looking at her going, is that real? Yeah, honey. Of course, it's the Bible. But I don't know this guy. Remember the first time my wife told me about this verse. She says, I know, honey, I read something. You should make a song out of it. At the time, all I did was all day long. I'd walk around with a book all day, and I'd write songs and poems all day long. I have a stack of books this high of all songs and poetry and thoughts and ideas. Some of it's really sick. My wife wants me to throw it all away. I just haven't gotten there yet. I will someday. I'm going to throw it all away. The voice of the Lord is the word of God. And sometimes you're here and you hear the voice of the Lord. I'll speak a word. I'll read while I'm reading the Bible, and it'll just send like, oh man, what did he just say there? That just sticks out. That's just something that burns in my heart. You guys have heard it called a rhema word, R-H-E-M-A. Some people spell it R-E-M-A. It's something that is active in your life. There is the logos word, and there is the rhema word. The logos word is unchanged. It is what it is. It is, it was, it always shall be. You're reading the Bible, and that is the logos word of God. It is a rock. Will not change, and you will not change it. Believe that. But then there's the rhema word, the active word, the word that sometimes reaches into your life, and you want to apply it immediately. Take that. God spoke a rhema word to me. Something that speaks to where you're at right now. Some of you guys are going through something. Some of you guys are really going through something. And you're looking, man, you got your antenna up right now. And this is how you come to church. This is why you come to church. I remember it was Fidel Gomez's wife. We were having these weekly meetings. We were planning a couples retreat. And I sat down in the circle, and she looked at me, and she goes, "Ryan, tell me you got a word, man. I need a word." And I'd never heard anybody put it like that before. And I remember I was reading from Psalm 106, and there's a line in Psalm 106 where it says that God would have destroyed the nation of Israel had Moses not stood in the breach. And she looked at me, she went, "That's my word." And I was like, what a weirdo. And now I hear something, I read something, you might say something to me, and I go, "That's what I needed." You know why? The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everyone says glory. I love this, man. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood. Hey, y'all. Let me tell you about the flood, in case you never knew. There was a man named Noah. He had a couple of sons who had a couple of wives. And he had a wife. And God looked down at the hearts of all the men on the earth. And you know what he said? "I'm sick of you all. Not one of you follow God. Nobody." And he grabs Noah and he says, "Hey, boy, I want you to build me a boat. Big boat. As a matter of fact, I'll give you the exact measurements. And I want you to put all these different animals on it, 7 of one kind, 2 of another." And it took him over 100 years to build this boat. But after it was done, people came around and they said, "What is that?" And he said, "It's an ark. And God is going to rain water from the sky." And in case you didn't know, there was no such thing as rain at the time. The water that flooded the earth was only dew that came up from the bottom. The earth was covered in a crust called a firmament. And it started to rain one day. And Noah and 7 other people, 8 people in all, went on this boat. And you know what the Bible says about this boat, guys? That the Lord shut the door. But I want you to know the screams and the cries and the pain that he must have heard. How many people and how long did they survive with this rain falling? When things started flooding, did they laugh at him? The Lord Jesus spoke about that. You know what he said? He said, just in the days of Noah, people were giving in marriage and taking in marriage, and they didn't know until Noah went on the ark and the Lord shut the door. And they were screaming, "Let us in, let us in." Who knows how long, how many of them built rafts and were screaming, "Help us." And God told Noah, "Don't you dare." Sounds cruel. It sounds horrible. What kind of God would do that? And here it said in verse 10, you know, the Lord sat enthroned at the flood. He was on the throne even then. It wasn't by accident that he let that happen. And it might not be accident that he's letting the virus that's go around the world go around the world now. And I am in no way suggesting that those that are dying of this deserve to die. That's not the same situation. Now, if you're new to Scripture, you might not know this, but the next time you're outside and you look and you see that incredible color rainbow in the sky, that's not God approving of gay marriage. No, no. That is God showing us that he's never going to flood the earth again. It doesn't matter how much it rains. As long as you see that rainbow, you know the rain has stopped and God has stopped it, and that rainbow is going to let you know. Did you know that the Bible says that? That he put the rainbow in the sky as a sign to those that believe that he's never going to flood the earth again. But do you know how it's going to go down the next time according to the book of 1 Peter? According to the book of Revelation? The whole earth will be burnt up with great fire. And you know, God's going to be enthroned at that time too. And here's the great part of that, guys. Maybe you got a flood going on right now in your life. Maybe there's some stuff going on, and it's like we talked about. I mean, listen, I don't know how bad this thing's going to get. But in case you guys didn't know this, my business, we're like Amazon for reptiles. We're mail order. And you know what people are doing right now? A lot of mail order. So I wish I could say I empathize with those that are hurting right now financially, but I don't. But I certainly sympathize. Because I was talking to Dan beforehand. He says, you said your niece lost her career, was it?
Yeah, today she was sold out.
People are losing their career, their livelihood. They're getting laid off, and they might not ever come back. Listen, if this thing goes on for a month, guys, I want you to think about a waiter, a waitress, make themselves $75 to $100 a day in a restaurant, and they show up to work, and the boss says, I'm sorry. We're not allowed to gather. There is no money. Now that person got to go home. Wife, kid, husband, kids. No money. Zero. They just created a stimulus, an $850 billion stimulus plan. Let me tell you what that does. If 150 million people sign up for this $850 billion stimulus plan, do you know how much money that is? That's $5,500 each. That ain't a whole lot of money over the course of a couple months. That ain't paying too many of your bills. Let's see the landlord. Lena called her landlord and said, hey, listen, you know, with this going on, all these stores are closing down. Are you going to help us out with the rent? And they said, basically, sorry, but no. You think your landlord, you're going to call your landlord? Because he, if he's rich, he don't care. And if he's a knock-around guy just trying to make a living by himself too, you think the bank is going to tell him, oh, yeah, don't worry about it. Pay it forward. No. But guys, the Lord sat enthroned at the flood. And the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. I can tell you the only thing that matters right now is God. Hold on with judo hands and a pit bull jaw right now. God, nothing makes sense right now. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know where we're going to do it. But God, say to me, like you said to the Israelites, stand back and see the salvation of the Lord. Psalm 30. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. I want you to do this. I want you to write Psalm 30 down on a card later on. And I want you to put it somewhere, because after this thing is over, this is what you're going to write. David wrote this psalm as a dedication. He was building his house was completed, and he looked back at his life after this completed. He looked at the house that he just built, and he said, oh Lord Jesus, how did you get me through my life? He He looked back at the troubles of his life and the people that wanted him dead and the people that hated him. He looked back at all of these things, and now he was filled with a heart of gratitude. And he started and he wrote this psalm after the great deliverance of God. I want you to write this down later. I want you to put it somewhere so that after we get through this, and we will get through this, we're going to see God show up. We're going to see people get saved. We're going to watch God. I pray over you and I speak over you a word. I say, open your eyes. The field is white for harvest. Pray the Lord of the harvest to bring out more workers into the field. The harvest is white. And if you've never heard that as a Bible study, when the Lord Jesus said the harvest is white, grain, when it grows, starts out green, and then as it ripens, it turns golden brown. And then wheat is ready to be picked. But then what happens is it turns white. And if you don't pick it off the vine, if you don't pull that plant after it turns white, it'll die and get bitter. And that's what the Lord was saying to them. In an agricultural society, they understood that. He says, I tell you to watch now. Right now, the field is ripe, but it's going to turn white soon. And it's going to grow old and bitter if we don't get out there and get it. If we're sitting at home watching the news, freaking out. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. His anger is but for a moment. Couple weeks, couple months, couple years, but his favor is for your life. You see, the favor of God is over the anger of God. The goodness and severity of God, mercy triumphs over judgment. What a word for you. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy in the morning. You see, that word comes there. It's italicized, and the reason it's italicized is because it was added for continuity. So the proper pronunciation, the proper reading of that is, weeping may endure for a night, but joy in the morning. Why is David saying that? You've heard me say that kind of funny thing that I do about, maybe some of you guys didn't. There's a story about a king. He had a wise man, and the wise man used to always say to the king, all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And the king used to always go to the wise man with the troubles, and he'd say, yeah, but wise man. And the wise man used to say, all things work together for good. And one day, the king was in the kitchen, and he wanted to help prepare the food because he wanted to be a good king. And he cut the end of his pinky off. Just go, ah! And he freaked out, and he said, wise man, what good could come out of this? You always tell me that everything works together for good. There is no good that come out of this. So he took the wise man and he threw him in jail. Wiseman's been with him since his whole life. And then one day, the king was going on a journey, and some brigands ransacked them, took over their carriage, stole all of their stuff, and they tied the king up. And they said, oh, we're going to sacrifice this king to our God, and he'll bless us forever. And while they were tying his hands, one of them saw that his pinky, the top of his pinky, was missing. And he said, oh, this man is cursed. If we sacrifice him to our God, he is not perfect. And our God will get mad at us and will curse us. Release them all. And the king ran all the way back to his kingdom, and he let the wise men out, and he goes, "Oh, wise men, I was so wrong about you. I was so wrong. You always told me everything worked together for good, and I'm sorry." Then he goes, "Hey, wait a second. You've been in prison for the last 2 years. I knew you were a liar and a faker. What good could you come out of being in prison?" And the wise man said, "Oh, my foolish king, if I was not in prison, I would have been with you." You see, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Even this. Weeping may endure for a night, but God promises the night's going to end and the joy will flood your heart again. It will. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Now, in my prosperity, I said I shall never be moved. Oh, Lord, by your favor, you've made my mountain stand strong. You see that, guys? Look at the end of verse 6 and the beginning of verse 7. In my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. It's like the story the Lord Jesus said. There was a great rich man, and he looked out over his fields, and he said, "I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my old barns. I'm going to build new ones." And the Lord Jesus said to him, "You fool, for this night your life will be required of you. Therefore, whose things would those be?" David said, "You know, I saved a bunch of money. I had a bunch of guys. And I thought to myself, my prosperity, I won't be, nobody can take away. I have money in the bank. I own property. I have a kingdom." And then David thinks it through. In verse 7, he says, "You know what, Lord? It's by your favor you made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face, and I was troubled." I don't care what you have. David and I think, didn't you play a song about Psalm 51? You know what he said? "Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. I don't care what you do. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me." There's a terrible story in 1 Samuel, Judges, about Samson, strongest man that ever lived. And then one day he was going to go out and defeat the Philistines again, and the Bible says that the saddest line in the Bible, "But he did not know the Spirit had left him." And every day petitioned the Spirit of the Lord. Every day. Something about an opening prayer tonight. I was up here praying in the opening, and the Spirit just seemed to flood my heart. I said, "Man, maybe we should just do a prayer meeting instead of Bible studies. I just feel like so in the Spirit in this prayer, God. I didn't want to leave. I cried out to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood? When I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper." And then I love when David does this. He does something so crazy. Every once in a while, in the middle of the psalm, he writes something like, "Lord, you have answered me. You have shown up." He talks it, and he just changes the whole room direction of the psalm. Listen to what he says here. "You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever." What a great last line. "Turn for me my mourning into dancing." Have you ever gotten that? Have you ever got the report? Remember one time, you guys remember, anybody here remember Don Dukes from Calvary, Fort Lauderdale? There's a guy named Don Dukes, skinny little black dude. His dad was an old-time preacher in the ghetto in, I think he was in Deerfield or Pompano. You remember, was it Deerfield or Pompano? Old school Southern Baptist preacher with a shotgun in a closet and a fire brimstone word. And he started going to Calvary Chapel, Fort Lauderdale as a young man.
and his job was to wash the trucks. And he was a skinny little guy with glasses, and he'd walk like this, and man, kept them trucks shiny. He believed that was his work from the Lord. And day by day, moment by moment, he was raised up till he became a pastor, and he was my pastor for a while. I served underneath him. And one day, his eye started swelling. He went to the hospital, went to the doctor, and they said he had lymphoma. And it was a late stage, and he's going to die. We cried, and we wept, and he was in the hospital. And we sat by his side, and me and a few other guys went up there, and we brought a conga. Me and this guy, JC, he brought his guitar and a conga. We went in there and sang songs in the room, and he, at one point, he says, you know what I really want you guys to do? Leave. And right, read later in the Bible, it says, he who sings songs to a heavy heart, it will be counted a curse to him. That's what we were doing. We were trying to lift him up by singing songs, and all he wanted to do was, and then another brother, Chet Lowe, went there, and he just held his hand for hours. And he came out of the hospital, and he said, do you know what I remembered most? Chet Lowe. He didn't say anything. And you guys came there, and all he did was make a bunch of noise. He was straight up like that. And let me tell you why I'm telling you this story. Doctor comes in, and he says to him, he said, Mr. Dukes, do you know what sarcoidosis is? And he said, no. He says, it's a sickness that some black people get, and every symptom mimics lymphoma. You don't have lymphoma. You have sarcoidosis. Your eye's going to bulge, but you ain't going to die. It's a swelling of some kind of thing behind the... And he walked out of the hospital, and you know what God did? He turned his mourning into dancing. And that's why we laughed and rejoiced. When we did this prayer meeting, we had this little room. You remember, what was it called? The chapel. They had this room called the chapel. It sat about half the size of this room or so, was it? Is it smaller? It only sat about 50, 60 people. But every Sunday night at 7 o'clock for, goodness, honey, how long did we do that? 7, 10 years? My kids grew up in that room on Sunday nights. We'd go to church, and we'd go home, and then we'd come back, and we'd pray in that room, and we got very, very close with a bunch of people, and Don Dukes was one of them, and when he got there, and he just danced and laughed, I'm not going to die, but I'm going to live. God, you've turned my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. 31. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me. For you are my strength. Into your hand I commit my spirit. Does that line sound familiar, anybody? That's what the Lord spoke out when he was dying on the cross and he knew he was about to die. And he said, into your hand I commit my spirit. He spoke the word. You know why? Because the voice of the Lord is thunder. It strips the trees bare, makes them skip like a calf. The voice of the Lord is over many waters. And he spoke the voice of the Lord. The Lord spoke the word of God. Thus, the word of God spoke the word of God. You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated those who regarded useless idols, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy, for you have considered my trouble. You have known my soul in adversities, and have not shut me up in the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a wide place.
Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Listen, if you're in a place where your back is against the wall and your face is against the waters, pray this psalm. Pray it, read it, and call it out to God. When there is nothing else, if you've never been in any kind of legal situation, there's nothing like it, because the first thing you realize is, in the street we call it the system. Stay out of the system. We tell young folks all the time, listen, stay out of the system, because once they know your name, they never leave you alone. Don't be a part of the system. Once you've been arrested, you're a part of the system, and it's all over then. And once you've been in legal trouble, once you've been a part of the system, you know what real power is about. Because judges, listen, no disrespect to you police officers in here. Here are the cops. Here are the prosecutors. Actually, here are the cops. Here are the lawyers. Here are the prosecutors. Here are the judges. And you know where you are?
Somewhere down here.
And you find out what power is about. And cold-hearted men who don't give a rat's butt, and they don't care whether you live or die, they don't have mercy, or you stand before them, but Your Honor, I have kids. Tell you, see these politicians on TV? You see these Clintons, these Bushes, these family, these Kennedys? Let me tell you something. They'll put you in a room and throw away the room. Do not be a part of the system. But when you see the God of our God, reach his hand down every once in a while and take the heart of that king and turn it wherever he wishes, you see real power. But that's not the power that you see more often. More often, you see, especially if you've been a part of the system, you ever get a ticket that you didn't deserve and you go before the judge and they just don't care? Isn't it the most frustrating? But that's not fair! This is the prayer for you. This is your prayer. And here you got to convince God. You're trying to talk God into showing up in the miraculous. I have hated those who regard useless idols, God, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy, for you considered my trouble. You have known my soul in adversities and have not shut me up in the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a wide place. Guys, that's what's calling those things that aren't as though they are. You're telling God what he's going to do according to his word, calling those things that aren't as though they are. Here's what's going to happen, God. Make it happen, please. I beg of you, God. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye wastes away with grief. Yes, my soul and my body, for my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity and my bones waste away. I'm a reproach to all my among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors. And I am repulsive to my acquaintances. Those who see me outside flee from me. I am forgotten like a dead man out of my mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I hear the slander of many. Fear is on every side while they take counsel together against me. They scheme to take away my life. Now, in case you didn't know, verse 9 through 13 is what's called prophetic. It is a messianic psalm. It is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ when he was in the trials, when he had to listen to all these people mock him and make fun of him. I don't know who wrote it. It's a very famous poem that I've heard. Chuck Missler used to always say it.
They nailed him to a tree of wood, even though he made the mountain upon which it stood. He watched his creation mock him and make fun of him. This is what he's talking about here. They take counsel together against me. They scheme to take away my life. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. You hear what he says there? Nobody. Oh, man, we've been listening to that song. What was that song by Kurt Vernon? It has that great line in it. He says, my God says, but my God decides what is possible. Yes. It's such a good line. Anybody? Man, we listened to it just today. You remember it? You remember the line I'm talking about, though? They will say that it's impossible, but my God decides what is possible. Then he said something about divine. You're divine. Ask me later. You know who decides what happens in your life? Not the judge. Not the prosecutor, not the defense attorney, not the policeman, God. But as for me, I trust in you, O God. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make your face shine upon your servant. Save me for your mercy's sake. Oh, I love that line. Make your face shine upon your servant. Save me for your mercy's sake. Do not let me be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon you. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak insolent things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you. You guys see what that just said? How great is your goodness. His goodness is greater than the world's badness. His goodness is better than your foolish choices. His goodness is better than anything else. And in the end, our times are in his hands. But you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of men. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has shown me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried out to you. Why does God always show up in the 11th hour? Anybody want to answer that one for me? Why doesn't he once in a while just show up at about 10:15? Why does he wait till I'm like right at the edge of death, violence, everything? I'm right at the edge before he just goes, wake up. Oh, love the Lord, all you his saints. For the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that your word is it's our rock and our salvation. It's our strength and our strong tower. God, I pray for anybody here that needed a good rhema word, a solid logos word, that you'll embed it upon their heart right now, for you have turned our mourning into dancing, and you will continue to hide us in your pavilion, that our glory might sing and give praise. God, we will never forget that the voice of the Lord is over many waters. Strips the trees bare. And when the voice of the Lord goes forward, all the people in the temple will say, glory. Glory. Thank you, God, for glory. we will yet see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Use us mightily to affect the lives of those who are fearful. In Christ's name we ask it, amen.